Love it in music, I love it in ministry, and I love it in writing. When I came across this next author's book and started reading it, I thought, wow, this is really cool and really deep at the same time. It's the story of Jesus' life and ministry from the perspective of justice. Hang on, Paul's imagination and writing liberties may challenge you like it did me. Paul D. Morris is right now on the Weekend Edition. Stay with us.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate this opportunity to share with you.
I tell you, I get a lot of books across my desk, and my producer kind of sifts through them, and this one stood out, and so I started to read it. I have not finished it, but I found some just, I love this book. This is just, I don't know, we'll get into that in a minute, but tell us about yourself before I get into how I feel about the book.
Well, you know, as far as the book is concerned and what we have done with it, we started working on this thing back in the mid-90s.
Hmm.
And I was strongly influenced by another more obscure work called The Life of Christ in Stereo by Johnston Cheney.
Okay.
Now, that book is no longer in print. But I have to tell you, Rick, that book deeply, deeply impressed my life. I read it dozens, literally dozens of times.
Hmm.
And as a result of my exposure to that manuscript, I felt like, you know, I would really like to write a book about the life, the teachings, the character, the power, and the authority of Jesus, as though I were right there with him. And so I started searching through the scriptures, and I discovered a guy named Joseph Barsabbas, called Justice, who was the guy who was not chosen in the first chapter of Acts to replace Judas. And I thought, you know, how did this guy feel? You know, they just threw lots and chose Matthias instead of Justice. And how did he feel? Did he walk away saying, well, boy, I'm really glad for Matthias. The Holy Spirit has really spoken. Or was there some little tinge of, wow, I wish I had been chosen? But he was not. But still, one of the qualifications, the credentials for being chosen was to have been with Jesus from the very first part of his life and ministry, from his baptism through the resurrection. Justice qualified for that. He may have very well been a disciple of John the Baptist, and when Jesus came along to be baptized, he followed the Lord instead. So I chose Justice as a vehicle to explore the life of Jesus, and everything that is said about Jesus, of course, is taken from the Scripture. I mean, plus my imagination, but it's taken from the Scripture and from the perspective of how I thought Judas might see it. Justice might see it. Right.
I find this book refreshing. Like I say, I've not finished it, but I've paged through it, and I started reading. I actually started reading in the middle, and I'm on 159, and then I've gone to the beginning. So I'm one of those guys that kind of go back and forth, and I don't know if that frustrates authors or not, but I'm at a point, and if I may, I want to read from 159, just a short part here. And this is the, I love how you integrate this into the truth, because I think sometimes we look at Jesus, and yes, he is God, he's the Son of God, and he was crucified and resurrected, but sometimes we forget the humanness of him. And I love this here. Evidently the disciples and Jesus are out, and of course he has no home, but he's out and they're sleeping, and it's dawn, and they're waking up, and this is where we pick up here. And it says, now his eyes opened to the lighting sky with the feeling of discomfort in his abdomen. Now I'm reading that and I'm thinking, okay, where are we going with this? And so the creator of the universe, the creator of this body he inhabited, had to relieve himself. And I got to tell you, I stopped and just laughed out loud. I had to call my wife and say, listen to this. And then it goes on to say that he heard Peter snoring, which I loved as well. And I said, you know what? This is going to be a really cool read, and I'm so excited. I have it highlighted already, pieces and parts, and then I went back to the beginning. I've got to finish this book, and I'm looking forward to the next two. Paul, what an imagination. Would I call that imagination? Where did you find that? Where did you come up with that?
Okay, Rick, look, 23 times from Matthew to John, Jesus was referred to by others as the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
78 times within the same framework, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. And the majority of those times in which he referred to himself as the Son of Man, it had to do with his exaltation, with his glory to the right hand of God the Father. And so there, in that exalted context, he is known as what? He's known as the Son of Man. In other words, the main agenda Jesus had to tell us is this. Look, I'm as human as you are. I have the same feelings, the same struggles with my heart and with my mind that you do. The scriptures tell us that Jesus was tempted in all points, like we are. And so it seemed to me that the point of focus, the fulcrum, the very spot in which I relate to Jesus the most, while I affirm, while I totally believe in his deity, I relate to him the most in his humanity.
Absolutely.
In his Son of Manness, if I may use that term.
Something else that touched me on the same page, and I'm not sure at what point, but I was touched by the fact, I think, well, at least maybe it's me, I can't speak for everyone, but I kind of look over his father, Joseph, just kind of, okay, he came, he must have died, I don't know, is it a jury still out? He was gone at the point of when Jesus became, started his ministry, and the first miracle, water to wine, and it talks about his mother throughout the Gospels. But there's a part in here where he is—he's thinking about his father, and he says, "Oh my God, enrich my father Joseph today, and prepare a reward for him in your realm that his dreams cannot imagine." You know, I was touched by that. I was touched by the fact, you know, what Jesus did think about his father. Jesus did think about Joseph. So I love the humanity part of it, and I think you're absolutely right. There's a part of us. The emotive part of us, the human part of us, there has to be where we connect with God on that level as well. Paul, response so far from this book. How long has this book been out?
Well, we started writing the thing back in the mid-90s, I think 1996, 97, in that area. The response has been much like your response, Rick. They're excited about seeing Jesus in the context of his life, as well as excited about seeing his humanness, how he felt. You know, you used the word emotive. The scripture says that God can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's emotive language. Those are feeling. God has feelings. Jesus had feelings. And I don't mean to try to labor the obvious, but he did. He felt about things. And I tried very hard in this manuscript to get in touch with the feelings of Jesus. And from the response I've been getting, apparently there's been some success in that regard.
Paul D. Morris, Dr. Morris is a pastor, counselor, student of the Gospels, lives in Atlanta, grew up in Atlanta, moved away, came back, and he's got a new book. Doctor, thank you so much. We know that you're busy. Blessings to your wife and your family, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks so much, Rick. God bless you and all who hear this.
Thank you for joining me on the Weekend Edition. Next weekend, my guest will be James Ryle.